You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Here we go, it's the Combine Podcast.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the Combat Podcast. Thanks for joining us on this miserable fucking Wednesday where Liverpool have just been beaten 1-0 by Brighton and Hove Albion. Yes, that was fucking shit. That is probably one of the... Tim, is that the worst fucking performance we've seen in a long time?
That's even like when we were going through that shitty stretch of form, we were never as bad as that. I don't think I've seen us that bad in a long, long time.
I was fucking shocked, mate. I was absolutely shocked. I really thought that that lineup was capable of beating Brighton. Maybe it was my naivety or fucking blinkered views or whatever you want to fucking call it. I really thought that team would fucking do it. And it just failed miserably. It was boring as fuck. You're playing loads of crosses again. I was shocked that the same shit happened again.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. It's been what it was for 2 weeks, just almost over-exaggerated today. It's worse because it was at home. We've lost now back-to-back home games. No creativity, nothing new, nothing different. You would have thought, like you said, going into that game, you've got enough to beat Brighton with that lineup. I know it is essentially the second team because we've got 58,000 players injured because... You know, at this point, you know, it's not going to be shocking to see a bunch of under 19 kids on the field at the rate players are getting injured. But
I mean,
you can't really say anything about the game because it was one, like you just said, it was boring as anything. And two, I mean, we didn't make anything to talk about. I mean, we were appalling going forward. We were all right at the back. But there's nothing much to talk about for this game.
No, there's not. But what we do need to do is talk about, for a minute, Mick, the lineup. Like I said, we thought that should have been enough. But the longer the game went on, the more I was getting pissed off that it was the same thing. Should we have just gone, hit the fuck it button and brought Ben Davies on and shoved Henderson in midfield? Because it looked like we needed him there, didn't it?
Could have done, yeah. Like, I'm 64 minutes and then you see Divock coming on again. And what did he actually contribute in that last half hour?
Yeah, shit.
There's a ball on for Trent. He completely fucked it. Taking too many touches around the box like he always does. And it's just, yeah, I don't know how many goals he's scored in training to get a fucking game, but I don't know what's going on. But so that, we had one shot on target at the end of the day. We deserved nothing, and Brighton were great. Brighton deserved to win. So
yeah, they absolutely did.
If you're gonna play that shit at home, and I think that's the first time we haven't scored in three home games since 1984. So that's how crazy that is. That's how bad we've been at home. And it's just, like you said, Jay, before we started, we thought this had ended with the last two results. That was so great. And the fact that we just had another slump again to the same old shit, that's what makes it more disappointing that we've slumped back to that again.
It does indeed, mate. Well, just what we want to do now, everyone, is we want to bring in... I don't even know why we invited him on the podcast, I'll be honest. But Maz is here to join us. Maz, if you recognise Maz, he was on the show last time, big Brighton fan, and you can tell by the big smile he's got on his face. Maz, we would say thank you for joining us, mate, but to be fair, you just fuck off.
The pleasure's on one, boys.
Honestly, mate, credit to what you boys did tonight. You were fucking brilliant. You had a game plan. It worked. You were brilliant. You played to our weaknesses because you know what we're like playing at home recently. You certainly did your homework. And how are you feeling right now, mate?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't breathe for the last 5 minutes, but after getting over the you know, being able to breathe again, it was a very good, like, you know, incredible performance. The fact that we came to Anfield and done what we did was just credit, like you said, credit to us. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't feel threatened by you guys at all throughout the whole game. I'll be perfectly honest with you. There was maybe with a Salah chance in the first couple of minutes, I think it was, half chance where he lobbed it over the bar. And then apart from that, really, there wasn't much for you guys, you know, on your end. And then, yeah, we defended really well. Like you said, we had a game plan. We stuck to it. And every player, especially Dunk and Webster, for me, were just unbelievable. The way they defended, you know, albeit they didn't have much to defend. But when they were called upon, every time they were there to clear it, you know, get rid and just get their bodies in the way, which was just incredible. So, yeah, I'm over the moon. And, yeah, to get a win against Liverpool is just, yeah, mad.
No, you're right, mate. And you should be, you know, reveling in it and all that sort of stuff, mate, because you absolutely fucking deserved it. Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to say that we were so fucking shit. It made it easy for you guys. You were fucking brilliant. So at the end of the day, it's not, we just fucking couldn't get at you. Mick, I just want to dive into some of the comments, if that's all right, mate. Sorry, Maz, were you going to say something? Mate? Go for it.
No, it's cool, it's cool. No, I was just about to say, like, obviously, it doesn't help with you guys having, what is it, like 10 first-team players out. I mean, it makes our jobs so much easier, having to come up against, you know, a makeshift centre-backs in Henderson and, well, it's a bit disrespectful to the other fella, Phillips. But, you're coming up against those players, it makes our job so much easier, and your first team keeper being out as well, you know, it was all in our favor, really, when you look at the what happened prior to that. So but we'll take it.
Absolutely, mate, definitely. Mick, I just want to go through a couple of the comments with you. Alex has come in and said Curtis Jones should have started. We did debate that at the beginning of the in the team news, didn't we, because we were thinking that maybe it was another game for Millie was a bit thingy, but we obviously, the performance that was against West Ham, we thought it would have worked again.
Yeah, I mean, it's pros and cons, isn't it? We were thinking if we keep the same midfield again and keep it as similar as it was the last game, it would work because it worked then. But I don't know. I think it's sometimes Klopp's a bit slow to make the change. And when he didn't bring Curtis Jones on straight away, then I was like, well, Ox, when he's been on, he's been out for a long time. He's coming back in. He just looks a bit leggy at the moment. Divock, I don't trust him when he comes on to do remotely anything worthy of getting anywhere near a goal or creating anything. The only person that I want to see coming on off the bench, if he's on the bench, is Curtis Jones, because he carries the ball forward.
Yeah,
he tries exactly stuff. Even if it doesn't work, he'll try a pass. And if it doesn't work, then he runs after it and chases it. Divock just chases half-assed, and you're just like, it's a wasted player in a way, and it is a shame. But yeah, if we would have won that game, like Maz said, we had a chance. Like first 2 minutes where Salah's through.
Yeah,
that goes in. It's a completely different ball game, but it was a difficult chance as well at the end of the day. So for me, we had one shot on target, and that's just at home. Obviously, Brighton are a good side and whatever, but fucking hell, having one shot at home in the whole 90 minutes is unforgivable, really.
It is indeed, mate. A few more of the comments as well, Tim. I'm going to come to you in a minute with some of these. Dan, you know, he's on at the beginning of this, the team news at the beginning of the evening. Dan, thanks for joining us, mate. And you're absolutely spot on with your prediction where you said you had a bad feeling. You didn't have a good feeling after seeing the team, but still gutted. Big Dave's back as well. We deserve nothing from that game tonight. Absolutely spot on. Ian's coming through on Facebook. We look so tired in midfield tonight, but we just didn't have any ideas to break them down. Take nothing away from Brighton, they played really well, absolutely. But our plan B, Origi, thank you for memories, but you're not a good enough option anymore. We'll just stick with that one at the minute, Tim. I know Mick touched on the Divock Origi situation, but it sort of raises the question of why did we let Minamino go a little bit? again, I don't want to talk about it too much because, like Mick said, off camera, we talk about Minamino too much. But on the flip side to it, if you are going to let Minamino go, or you had an idea of him to go this month, and you knew Divock was your only fucking option, you had Kane on the bench, fucking chuck him on. You know what I mean? Or you had, you know, you could have got the other Kane in to play up front. Just fucking take a gamble because Origi's clearly not working, is he?
Yeah, no, it's he's not been like quality for a long time now. He was always quality in spots, and that was about it. That's all about. He was really good against Everton a couple of times, and in the Champions League, obviously he's gone and put his name in history. But at the same time, I think it does bring into question the whole tacky situation. I understand that obviously Klopp wouldn't normally be in this situation. Obviously Mane would be playing today, and the first guy off the bench in terms of replacing the front three would have been Shaq, which obviously is a completely different ball game. And I think something we lacked today was Mane, because of his ability to go past guys. I don't think anyone really kind of ran at someone and looked to take them on a wing or in the middle. I think it was also passive and just kind of really quite just soft football, no aggression or urgency at all. So, yeah, so something that was obviously massively lacking and something that Divock Origi just doesn't bring. So, yeah, I at this point, I would happily throw a kid on before him. I don't think he's really brought much in the past couple of weeks. He's, you know, he had his chance to kind of get himself back into form against Burnley, and he went and hit the crossbar in a 1-1 that he should, you know, if you're a top striker, you have to score, or whether you're coming off the bench or starting. It's a frustrating situation, and at the end of the day, this injury crisis is going to raise questions like this. But the tacky situation is still massively confusing.
It's a funny one for me as well, because we were looking at getting a player in on loan, because obviously our attacking options have been very sort of limited as well. And on our podcast, we mentioned Origi a few times. So to hear you guys sort of berate him and sort of go in on him is a bit weird for us, because obviously we would take him all day long as an attacking option. But obviously I know the quality of the teams is very different. You know, you guys are, you know, got top quality players, and we don't have as many of those players. But yeah, to hear you sort of berate him and not say he's that good, it sort of makes me feel a bit better for not going for him in the January transfer window. So
no, Maz, you're absolutely spot on, mate. And I suppose from your perspective, when you saw him come on, I don't suppose it made you feel like, oh, they might get one here.
Nah, that's the thing. Up until like two or three games ago, I you guys have mentioned, you know, the fact that he's a Champions League, you know, had such a big part to play in the Champions League run you guys had, like, you know, put his name down history and just sort of basically what he's done in the past. I was like, well, you know, why is he not a good option? Why shouldn't we go for him, kind of thing? But then in the last two or three games I watched him play, I agree with all you guys have said. He's very off the pace. He just doesn't seem to be, and I think he's a very much confidence player as well. I think that's what he, like, you know, he's been on the bench for so long now, and he's not really been given the opportunities. And I feel like with players like Minamino and all those kind of players coming in front of him, I feel like maybe that's what's dented his confidence even more so. And he's like, well, actually, I'm now a fifth choice striker, whatever it might be. Because of the injuries, he's now had to obviously play a part. And I just feel like when he has played a part, he's been non-existent, to be honest with you. So when he came on today, to answer your question, I was not threatened whatsoever, to be honest. I'd rather, like you guys have mentioned, see another attacking option for your guys' sake. Like, you know, I was very surprised by the whole Minamino going out on loan. I was so baffled by that, because it's like you don't really have that many options as it is. So why let someone else go in that attacking option? So I was a bit baffled, but I mean, Klopp knows best, right?
Well, Mick, I'm going to come to you this one, because Maz has just brought us it. Maz, you're absolutely spot on. Klopp does know best, obviously. He's the reason why he gets paid all the fucking money to make it. And I'm not going to question what he's done for the club at all. But what I will question, Mick, and we have spoken about this, is the substitution and the decisions he makes. Sometimes is his substitute a bit arrogant, where he's just thinking, I'll still do what I fucking want, even though it's not worked before?
I don't know. I think he's trying to have faith in what he's put out there. He doesn't want to change it too soon, just in case. But sometimes you just got to go, right, fuck it. We're not the 60 minutes has gone before. We've not done nothing. what can go wrong? If we concede again, then fuck it. Doesn't really matter if we end up conceding on the counter attack, and we nearly did a couple of times. I don't know. It's just I hate questioning Klopp, but one thing I would say, like bringing someone on a bit sooner and making sure a player who's gonna actually chase balls down with the intention of getting the ball rather than just going, oh yeah, I'll run a little bit here and make it look like I'm just closing down, but I'm not really, which is what Divock Origi does for me, to be honest. But
yeah,
it's frustrating. Like I've just been looking at the subs there. I would have rather him brought on Tsimikas and put Robertson left wing. That's go. Just have them two on the left, bombing forward. Just go for it, and then just have someone else up front, like false nine or whatever.
But this is the thing. I was wondering why you didn't target Dan Burn a bit more, because for us personally, and I've sort of slated him quite a lot on social media, which our Brighton fans have sort of got on my back a bit. But I was surprised why you didn't sort of target him a bit more, because defensively he's not all that great, and you know, he wins aerially. He's always going to beat a man most of the time because he's about six foot ten, wherever the hell he is. And you know, for me, I was just a bit baffled as to why maybe Klopp didn't really sort of go at him and, you know, put two players on him and try and really make it an awful day for him. Because you saw what Adama Traore done to him. I don't know if he did, but he absolutely killed him. And he gave away a penalty, and I think he scored no goal as well. So it just shows by when you actually and against Leicester, he had an absolute stinker. So, and I feel like Rodgers and Nuno Espirito Santos identified that and saw him as a weak link and put Adama Traore on him and put the likes of Vardy and, you know, those pacey kind of players. And I don't know if you guys had that option or not, you know, with the limited team you've got there, but, you know, if maybe just put someone quick against him and just basically tear him a new one, really. And I was just surprised that you didn't do it.
Tim, what are your thoughts on what Maz has just said there? He's got a very, very, very good point.
Well, that's the thing, is that you would have thought so. The problem is that a lot of when we talk about Liverpool playing aggressively and trying to go past players and stuff, normally that comes from the left-hand side through Mane and Robertson. Trent and Salah are more passive attacking players. There's a lot of creation from that right-hand side. They've got some great interplay and stuff, but no one sets up to go past guys. Mo Salah's not a guy who's going to, as much as he's this great goal scorer and stuff, he's not a guy that really kind of squares a guy up and tries to take him on down the wing and beat guys into the area and create his own thing. He's brilliant at what he does. He's a superb finisher and he's good in front of goal and stuff. I think, although it was a tough chance, he probably should have put that first one away. It would have changed the game. But again, Trent's not a guy who's gonna push the ball past you. He's a guy who's gonna set the ball and try and cross it 9 times out of 10. And his delivery is brilliant, so you can't really complain when he does it. But you have a point. I mean, I would have thought that they would have tried to attack him, but at the same time, guys like that, if we play on the left-hand side for us, we don't really have anyone who plays on the right wing that really kind of like squares up to guys and looks to take them on.
Yeah,
fair point.
Mick, God knows why you just put that in the fucking comments. Who was our man of the match? Fucking no one. No
Well, I was only asking that because I seen I was just looking on Twitter then, just there briefly, and someone put Kelleher was our only good player tonight, and I was wondering who people thought was. I thought Phillips was okay, but their like Brighton's goal was like a clip off Phillips's big toenail.
It was, wasn't it? It was just
we played shit, fair enough, but that's just like when stuff's going against you, it goes against you. Just fucking hell.
Yeah, no, I mean, the build up was I thought very Barca-esque, but then the finish was more Yeovil. So I think it was like a tale of two halves. It was a great, you know, I will happily say it, and I thought the build up was great. You know, the little touches from Trossard, then the great cross from I think it was Gross, or no, from March, sorry, and then obviously Dan Burn cut it back, and then it was a bit of a calamity after that. I think he sort of did a bit of ping pong in the box, came off Alzate and Trossard, and then just crept past Keller, which was it was a touch of fortune, I'm not gonna lie, you know. And when you get results, you know, going to Anfield, you need that a bit of luck, and we really have struggled with that kind of stuff. So from our perspective, we were like, it was sort of one of those that came off after such a long time of not getting anything going our way. There was definitely a touch of fortune, and you know, but leaving that game, if you said to me, oh, you know, do you think you deserve the win, I would definitely say yes. Like, I don't think it was one of those games where we sort of grinded out a result, if that makes sense, in the sense and grab.
No, you're fucking phenomenal in defence. Everything we threw at you, just thought you were like, fuck off. Fuck off. Fuck off. You know, you were phenomenal.
What's more annoying is when we defaulted to that fucking stupid position where we start crossing the ball in, and Brighton's back four are all about 7'10". How the fuck are we going to win either? It's fucking no, it's pointless.
I saw something on social. It was something someone put a meme up of you know, the great Carly, the wrestler, against Rey Mysterio, and it was like, so Liverpool, Rey Mysterio, and Liverpool, the great Carly, and they were just like, I think it was a Liverpool fan actually tweeted it saying that's like us putting the ball in, and you know, we're just clearing it every time, and it's a very good point. It's like, why keep doing the same thing that you know is not going to work? Because for a good, what was it, 90 minutes, I felt comfortable, to be honest with you. Like, whatever you kept putting in the box, we just kept clearing it. And it was like, you weren't posing us any different problems, which we weren't, you know, struggling to deal with, which is very unlike Liverpool. I did not see this coming, in the sense that how, not easy it was, but like how sort of, I thought you were going to trouble us all day long, but it was just, I was very surprised at the fact that you didn't even, weren't managed to do that. So it was pretty.
So
sprung.
We, pal, we fucking were. Yeah, you know what I mean? No, just no. Ridiculous. Tim, with there's a couple of things in the comments here that have cropped up, and I really want to touch on. To be fair, Alex has put in the old question that's floating around this week. Thiago for me just slows our game down too much, and there's been a few tweets questioning Thiago's performance in terms of what he brings to the side and all that sort of stuff. Is it because that Thiago is the player that we need to build a new team around? And do you know what I mean? Or because he doesn't fit our style? Or what do you think's happening to me? Because there are people that are questioning him. I mean, I personally have no issues with the lad at all. I think he sees a pass. I think he's... The problem for me with Thiago is, if our fucking forwards aren't making them runs, he can't play them amazing passes. And I think it was down to the forwards not making the runs tonight. I don't think Thiago did that much wrong.
I don't understand this kind of sentiment that Thiago's bad for the team and he's slowing us down and all this kind of stuff. When the spells when we don't feed Thiago in the middle of the field are the spells we cross 15 times in 10 minutes and get absolutely fuck all from them. That's what I don't understand, is that, yes, he slows the game down, but he slows the game down to look for something different as opposed to just putting out on the fucking wing and crossing it 112 times a game to fuck all. So this, yes, he slows the game down. Yes, it's not the Liverpool we're used to, but this isn't the Liverpool we're used to being fielded week in and week out, and something has to change. And he's the guy who's, at the end of the day, going to change that for us. If you want to take Thiago off the pitch and you want to play Shaq in that position and you want to feed the wings and cross 50 or 60 times a game, quite literally, because we've done it before this season, then listen, we're going to finish sixth or seventh. At the end of the day, the last two games, the two games we've won, it seems like we're coming kind of found our stride again. Thiago was at the center of that. He was controlling the game. And that's what I don't understand, is that you don't hear that kind of stuff when the, you know, because yeah, he doesn't get goals and assists and it doesn't show up on the stats, but you know, that kind of stuff, like, people don't talk about it then, but they'll talk about it when we're shit because we can't score off a cross. Correct. So I don't understand it. It's completely different. And for me, the guy who's going to love life with Thiago is when Hota comes back, because his ability to make a run in behind the defense. I know you're smiling at me saying that, Jay.
I love it when you call him that. Love it.
But yeah, his ability to run behind a defense and his diagonal runs, he's going to absolutely love playing with Thiago, because he's going to be absolutely living running in behind defenses and getting these chip balls that Thiago's so well known for. So I think it's a bunch of nonsense. It's almost like a scapegoat for whenever we're not playing well, that, oh, Thiago's slowing the game down. It's just not true.
It is. I agree with you, mate. And you know, like I said, I have to play devil's advocate on here because I have to talk about what people want to. And Dan's agreed with his own. The Thiago thing is lazy. I absolutely agree, because Mick, in terms of changes, imagine Ben Davis starts that game and he's playing at the back with Phillips. Now, I have no complaints about Hendo and Phillips starting the game together. Got no problem with it. But by getting Henderson back in that midfield, that is going to be so important in terms of us if we want to, one, try and challenge for this title still, even though I'm a bit worried now, or we've got to look over our shoulder and fucking secure a top four finish.
Yeah, it's putting Davis in there tonight would have just been ridiculous, I think, to start him. Obviously, on the bench, and like we said on the pre-match, if he would have had a couple of goals and then brought them on, it would have been a perfect scenario for it to happen. But
yeah,
no, it's we need Henderson. Like, Henderson's been great from the back the last two games. Obviously, tonight everyone was a bit off it, but like I said, the Salah chance early on, that was from a Henderson diagonal, which is what Van Dijk usually does, isn't it? Like those perfect diagonals over the top. So once you get him back into midfield, you'll start to see things ticking a bit more, because he'll drag us forward, which is what he was doing from centre half pretty much tonight. But yeah, it's just having so many players out is really hurting us. Obviously,
yeah.
I thought having Alisson out tonight would hurt us, but I didn't think it would have that much of effect on it, because we usually have that much of the ball anyway. I mean, from the last game, it hasn't changed that much. Obviously, we're still missing Mane, we're still missing all kinds of other players, but you should still expect a certain level of performance from Liverpool, and it just wasn't there tonight for some reason. I don't know why. And I also agree completely with Tim about the Thiago thing. That's a lazy shout. He's the only one. He slows it down. He does a few step overs and whatever else, but he's the only one who picks a pass through the middle of the midfield to pick someone out, to negate going to the fucking wings and doing the same shit over and over. He's the only one that does that in that midfield three. So
for what it's worth, from an outsider perspective, I he's one of my favourite players. And in the work group, I get absolutely killed for defending Thiago, because the other chaps, they don't really rate him. They think he's a bit of a, you know, he's a bit overhyped and whatnot. But when I remember watching him for Bayern last season, he was like by far the best player on the pitch in that Champions League final. And I just knew when he came to Liverpool, he would do the same thing. And I just think he's being very harshly treated at the moment. And I think he's being used as a bit of a scapegoat as well with regards to sort of, you know, anytime Liverpool don't play up to scratch or wherever it might be, they use him as like the scapegoat, because he's meant to be that, you know, that marquee signing, that marquee player. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if he's not on it, that means that's the reason why Liverpool are losing or not doing well. So I just feel like he's been very harshly treated, because he's an unbelievable player. He's incredible. Like one of the best in the Premier League for me when he's on it. But yeah, I just feel like he's definitely been made to be a scapegoat, which is a shame, really.
No, absolutely.
Sorry, Jay. He's only as good as the runs around him. Like also Tim said, once we get Hotter back and Mane's back, like we missed that run from like left coming inside from Mane tonight, like a long ball over the top. That's always an option, and we didn't have that tonight. And once we get those players back into this team, Thiago will just be like, right, fucking hell, through ball, bang, and we'll score shitloads of goals from it. But it's just he's picking up the ball, he's looking, he's thinking his head, I don't want to play it out wide because we're doing the same shit over and over. I'll play it inside. And then if you're getting surrounded by three, four players who are all massive and strong in the challenge, then it's bound to break down. And it's just, you've just got to give credit to Brighton, because they were 100% committed to every challenge. And that's what you've got to do at Anfield to win. And they did it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll just, before we go off, I want to talk a bit about Brighton in that sense, Maz, because obviously one nice thing from our perspective, looking at your team, was the return of Adam Lallana. So it was really nice to see him at Anfield and stuff like that. And obviously, I know it again, he's sort of been hit with injuries and stuff like that, but how's he fared down south?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Unfortunately, his time has been, he's been hindered by his injuries, which is a great shame, because when he does play, and he's played a sort of handful of times, you can see his class. He just oozes class when he plays. And it, you know, it just shows that he's got that winning mentality. You know, he's a leader on the pitch, especially for a team. I don't want to say team like Brighton, because we get very annoyed when people say that. But for a team is, you know, for our stature, our size, he is a very sort of, you know, we call it a marquee signing, so to speak. And so for us to get him was a big sort of, you know, it was a big buzz, big coup, coming from Liverpool, you know, Champions League winner, etc. But then the fact that he sort of started getting injured quite a bit, it's just, we've been left quite frustrated, just because we knew it was going to happen, but then we didn't want it to happen, and it just kept happening. It's like every game we'd play for like 20 minutes and then you get injured and you're like, for God's sake, like, come on, man, just I don't know what's wrong with you, just get it together. But you know, when he plays, he's a joy to watch, and he does dictate play for us, and a lot of things do go through him, which is, you know, what you expect really from a player that quality.
That's it, mate. He's a playmaker, isn't he? And he makes things happen. And at the end of the day, even though Lallana had a turbulent last few years at Liverpool, the contribution he made to this side under Klopp is absolutely incredible. You know, if you're talking about building a foundation to win things eventually, that's exactly what Adam Lallana did. And so did Gini Wijnaldum. That's something that should be forgotten, because that 16-17 season, them two were just absolutely unplayable. They were fantastic for us. And then, you know, it'll always be remembered for that. But obviously that win now, I think it takes you 10 points clear of relegation.
Yeah,
now.
I believe so. Yeah. So now we sort of dragged Newcastle back into it, which I'll be honest with you, I feel like they're now sort of in the driving seat for me to be in trouble, because you see Sheffield United and Fulham starting to play good football and they're picking up points. Sheffield United now, I think they've won like two out of their last three or something, and you know, they're starting to pick up a little bit. I know they're way back in the pack, but yeah, I think they could be in trouble, and it's just nice for us. It's a bit of a relief for us, just because we, you know, all season we've been lauded by the press and the media and rival fans as, you know, oh, they play lovely football, but they just never get the results. And that's been the story of our season. But the past, was it three or four games now, we've actually got wins and got results, which, yeah, makes us our lives much easier now. And, I think we're going to, well, I'm confident to say that we'll stay in the Premier League and face you boys again next season.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I think you will as well. Because it's a great club. It's a great side. It's building some really, really good quality players down there now. So, you know, again, keep everything crossed for you, mate, because again, we'll get to do this again.
Appreciate it as well. Hopefully you don't get Ben White off us as well. That's keep your hands off Ben White. And then
to be fair, after signing Kabak and the Upper Meccano thing, I doubt we'll get him now, mate. So you keep hold of him, Mick. Just before we go off, I want to just touch on Sunday, and I'll touch on it with everybody. Obviously, I said last week that putting in a performance against Spurs was good, but we had to win against West Ham and Brighton in order for the City game to actually mean something in terms of catching them up. I'll be honest now, mate. I'm deflated, and part of me right now, I mean, it is fucking 11:15 and we have just got beat. I might be speaking out of turn, but I couldn't give a shit about Sunday now.
No, you hit the nail on the head, Jay. Like, we were on the pre-match, we were saying, oh, if we win tonight, and we kind of, it wasn't, no disrespect to Brighton and to Mazzy, who's came on, but we thought it was like a given that we were going to like turn up again tonight and win. And we were like, kind of.
Well, you would, wouldn't you, after the last few games? You would.
Because you think, right, well, let's get this one out the way. And I don't know if that's kind of crept into the players' heads. I'm sure it hasn't, but it's just frustrating. Like, if they win their game in Ant City, they're 10 points clear, aren't they? So I'd never say never with a Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp team, but that's a fucking huge amount hill to climb. We'd have to beat them on Sunday and then still at 7 points. So. It's going to be, we're going to need, like, if we get the likes of Mane back, Alisson back, Hotter back, and we start putting a run of results together, then maybe, but then you're going to have to hope that City can falter, and it just looks like it's too easy for them at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim, are you in agreement with that? Have you got another theory to put some positivity on the title run?
Well, I will say this, if we go and... if we do go and win this title now, this will be far sweeter than last year. It certainly seems an impossibility at this point. I certainly would have been talking more sprightly about our chances had we won tonight. But to be honest, I've been watching City recently, and they're really, really, really good. They're looking like a different version of a Pep City. A team that's much more solid at the back. You know, they're having far less injury issues. In fact, their problems are going forward more than they are going back. They've had a problem scoring this year more than they have conceding, which for a Pep team is actually quite odd.
On the missing De Bruyne and Aguero still, which is
De Bruyne's out till kind of expected to be back kind of middle of February, towards the end of it, and Aguero apparently is coming along quite slower than expected, so he's going to be out for a while. So, you know, they might run into a patch like similar to we did, and struggle to score over a period of a few games, and we might claw some points back then. But for me, at this point, the only chance we have at winning the title is absolutely smashing them this weekend, having a 3-0 win and just blowing them off the field, which at the moment I don't see happening. And putting some doubt into the back of their mind, because at the moment I think that they they're they're poised to kind of run away with it. And if they beat us this weekend, I think they will.
Yeah, it's a good point, mate. It's a good point. Maz, your thoughts on the title and the top four? Where do you see it going?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we've got a sort of good chance of making that top four charge going into it. I think with regards to Liverpool, you guys, for me, at the beginning of the season, I thought you were going to do it again, back-to-back champs. But then, of course, all your injury worries after that, I was like, well, City. But the thing is, City weren't looking great as well. So I was like, okay,
yeah.
You never know. It's all up for grabs. And then, yeah. Man City last, 5 to 10 last games? Like, they've just been on fire. And I think De Bruyne could be a big miss. I just feel like with you guys, I feel just because of the injury, simply down to that, I just don't think you've got it was evident tonight with the squad depth, just in terms of, the defenders and even the ones you brought in, I'm a bit sceptical about, the chap from the Championship and the guy from Schalke as well. I don't know how they'll fare. And I think, Kabak's like 20 years old as well, a bit young. Yeah. He might not have the experience to come in sort of straight away, hit the ground running. And I just feel like, I feel like as a squad, I just feel like Man City do have that squad depth. And, you look at their fullback option just alone. When they don't play Cancelo, they've got Walker. And when they don't play Zinchenko, they've got, who's the other left back they've got? Laporte. So just for me, just in those two positions, they've got an abundance of players they can just bring in when needed. And I just feel like with Liverpool, that's where you guys are struggling at the moment. And that's no through fault of your own. The injuries have absolutely killed you. But I just feel like Man City is theirs to lose now.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I agree. Well, we'll leave it there, boys. 35 minutes of being miserable has been enough for me. But, it's been nice to have Maz on and speak to him because... The end of the day, we've got there's no hatred towards Brighton from Liverpool, so it's always pleasing when we've got a rival fan who's happy and at least he's got some out the night as well. But boys, at the end,
it doesn't come around often, mate. So give us win, mate. It doesn't come around often.
That's it, mate. 4 points off us this season. You took that at the beginning of the year.
That's one thing I was going to mention. Actually, I thought the last game we played, we should have got 3 points. But I said that to Mick last time I was on. I thought it was a bit hard done by. So it should have been six, really. But we'll take four.
Yeah, all right, fucking calm down.
I've got to gloat a little bit. Come on, you've got to give me something.
Absolutely. You fully deserved it, mate. Brighton were brilliant tonight. So, enjoy it, mate. Enjoy the tweeting. Enjoy the next few days till the next game. But, beat the champions now. Fuck them. It's on to the next one for you lot. So, good on you.
We got relegation battle to fight. So,
Boys, fuck it. Let's just look towards Sunday. Let's just see what happens. You never know. There might be some more twists and turns in this title race. I'm trying to be positive and trying to finish it off well. I'm not. I'm fucking failing miserably. Mick, nice one as always. Tim, thanks always. And a big thanks to Maz. We really appreciate it, mate.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
We'll see you next time. Hopefully next time we're on this podcast at Liverpool, get 3 points. If not, sleep well, stay off Twitter, and we'll see you next time.